Please turn with me tonight to the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So, my title tonight is The Soul's Interview with God. The interview of the soul with God. There will be that interview now, but also in the hereafter. Now, I wouldn't go into many background about the prophet Amos, except to say that Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets. And he prophesied, let's say, between 765 to 760 BC, before Christ. And his prophecy was specially to the northern kingdom. And his prophecy was during the reign of a king called Jeroboam II. So that's all we need to know so far. And he was an ordinary man. So this was not like somebody special or extraordinary, just an ordinary man. He was a shepherd, and in chapter 7, we read that he was a farmer. So, simple person, like an ordinary preacher, telling us how to find God. Now, the prophecy of Amos contains very hard words. We may even say harsh words. It contains warnings, threats, rebukes. But please, I don't want anyone to feel that this is all about Amos. His prophecy contains also many, many blessings, as we will see tonight. But his prophecy also contains an urgency, God giving grace to find the living God, to seek and find the Lord. It is, if I may put it just in our own words today, it's like God is saying to Amos the prophet, Amos, tell them what? That God loves them, that God is gracious, that God is kind. But tell them also that sin is evil. Expose their sin. By exposing their sin, you are doing what? You are helping them to call upon the name of the Lord, to repent, and to trust in God. So this is really his message encapsulated in few words. So by way of application, I'm sure you may wonder, this is about Israel. But by way of application, I believe this is a prophecy, this is a warning, this is a grace given to us, a word of urgency given to all of us, not just to Israel, but beyond Israel, the Lord is calling each one of us. You can put your name there, saved or unsaved, converted or unconverted, religious or irreligious, no matter who you are. God says, prepare yourself, prepare to meet thy God. If you put your name there, then it becomes much, much easier. But I believe this is God's calling to each one of us, to faith, but also, as I said earlier, with great urgency, with great compassion, and there is great pleading also in the words. Now, can I just give you very quick structure of the chapter? I will not deal with every verse in the chapter, but just for you later, you can see if you embark and say, let me think about what the preacher said tonight. What is the context of this preparation? It's very easy. The structure is straightforward, and we can divide it really in four parts. So four parts are given to us in Amos chapter 4. So the first part is in verse 1 to 3. So from verse 1 to 3, you find the first part. And here, specific sins are mentioned in relation to women. And in relation to their sins, Amos is exposing their lust, their whims, the fact that they were trying to enrich themselves, the fact that they were trying to usurp power, and they were seeking for authority. But this is not new. It's happening in our world even today. Then in verse 4, 5, and 6, you find there the second portion, verse 4 and 5, I beg your pardon, just in verse 4 and 5, that's the second portion. And there you find false worship, false religion. The people were, they were believing in God, they were calling the name of God with their lips, but their heart was miles away, million miles away from God. And then in verse 6 to 11, that's the third part, now you see disobedience, you see immorality, you see idolatry. People were worshiping idols. You see the self-centeredness. Instead of people investing for their souls, instead of investing for the kingdom of God, no, they were all self-pleasing, self-seeking. That's really what you find out in verse 6 to 11. And this is why in verse 6 to 11, you find God punishing the people. He sent them this disaster after disaster, warning after warning. But each time you find the chorus there, in spite of all what I have done to you, yet you have not yet returned unto me. Four or five times it is mentioned there. Just to show that things are going to escalate. And the last part, the fourth part, is in verse 12 and 13. So verse 1 and 3, the first part. Verse 4 and 5, the second part. Verse 6 to 11, the third part. And then in verse 12 to 13, the fourth part. And there is a word. I'm sure you have noticed that word in verse 12. Therefore, God will have the last word. There will be an interview. There will be a meeting with the living God. And that meeting is going to happen now, but also in the hereafter. So before I really come to the verse, can I say something about this verse? This is one of the most kind and the most generous, the most compassionate, and the most wonderful calls or gospel invitations in the Bible. Please, there is nothing negative in this, in that call. Don't see it that way for the moment. So that's why, for the sake of our souls, and for the benefit of our souls, and for the lapse of time we have before us tonight, I would like to give you five headings from this verse. It is really packed and very rich as you consider it. Not just about words, but in terms of how can I seek the Lord? How can I find the Lord? How can I be forgiven before I leave this place tonight, this house of prayer, or not waiting for the day of judgment? Even now, I will have all my sins forgiven and have fellowship with the living God. And I will know it. It's not a, oh, perhaps, maybe, if God wills. No, God wants it because he has given it to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in case I'm not able to reach my five headings, I will list them for you. They are very, very simple in the text. The first one, a preparation is needed. You need to be prepared. The second one, there will be a meeting place. The third one, there is a personal God. God is personal. Many religions, I will say all religions, they have a distant God. He is somewhere there. We don't know where he is actually, just somewhere there, distant. So we are here. We cannot have fellowship with him. We are just like slaves, not knowing what their master wants from them. But God, according to Amos 4:12, is a personal God. And then my fourth heading, how can I prepare? What must I do to prepare? And the fifth one, what are the consequences if I do not prepare? So without any further ado, the first element, a preparation is needed. My dear brothers and sisters, my friends, life is so fragile. Life is so short. I was not long time ago in a place, and I was attracted by an inscription. It is a coffee place. And they said there, life is too short for coffee. And I bought coffee, and in my unwise zeal, I said to the man, please, life is not too short. Life is too short. Too short. How old are you? How long can you live? What is our longevity? How many years could we live in this world? You know what the Bible says? Bible says that our life is like a vapor. Our life is like wind. Our life is just like a shadow. You could multiply the examples. The world says life is a game. No, it's not a game. The world says life is gambling. You can gamble, that's your business, but life is not a gambling. It is very serious. It is a serious matter. But you see, life is like a book. Your life and my life is like a book. But the problem, you are not the one turning the pages of the book, of that book. You may think, many of us, we think, I am the captain of my own boat. I'm the responsible, the governor of my own life. I do with my life whatever I want. But the reality is that your life does not belong to you. Your life belongs to God. And all your days are written in his book. And that's why one day we shall give account to every day we have spent in this life before God. And sometimes, you know, God is turning many pages. Life is made of preparations. We prepare for so many things. I'm sure before you came tonight here, you prepare to come here. You have done something to come here. In exams, you have to prepare. In marriage, in weddings, you have to prepare. Planning to travel, you have to prepare. Whatever you do in life, waking up the next day, you have to prepare to go back to work again. You have a routine. So you follow a routine, it needs a preparation. But you see the problem. The most important preparation is about eternity. Are you prepared for that? Am I prepared for that? But now I come back to the verse again. In verse 12, Amos 4, the prophet says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. The word prepare is an interesting word. First of all, it is a command. It is an imperative. God is speaking. You must prepare. And second, the preparation is personal. I know, if you know my heart, if I can do it, that preparation for you tonight, I will do it. But it is personal. I cannot do it for you. I can warn you. This is what I am doing now. I can give you commands about what the word of God says, but I cannot apply it. I cannot push you to do it. It's impossible. Only God can give you that preparation. But you see, the fact that God is asking us to prepare, remember, God makes no suggestions. He means what he says. So that's why we need to prepare. So it is a command. It is personal. But the word prepare, if God says to us to be prepared, it means what? We are unprepared. That's the problem with you and me. So even today, somebody came to see me and he said, oh, I took a decision to follow God. Did you take that decision? Is it possible that you take a decision just by yourself? It's impossible. And the word prepare, the Hebrew word actually prepare means be firm, be well established, be stable. On what are you standing in your life now? We speak about spiritual life. Are you on moving sands? Are you on solid rock? On what have you built your house? We could put it that way. And the people to whom Amos is giving this command to prepare, just to give you a few things about them, they had every privilege. Do you know what they had? They had the bells, they had the smells, they had the candles, the incenses, the priests, the rituals, the garment, very sublime garments to impress everyone and so on. But all these things, they had power, they had a kingdom and so on. But all these things were not enough. They had sacrifices, they had offerings, they had religion. But all these things were not sufficient to help them to find God or to be reconciled with God or even to be prepared. But now, please forget about them. What about you and me? We have education, we have erudition, we have religions, we have resources, we have smartness, we have beauty, we have technology, we have ignorance, we have pride, we have some stubbornness, we have indifference, we have arrogance. But all these things are not enough to make you to be prepared before the living God. Now, even good works, morality, good behavior. Again, even this week I met someone, he said to me, Ibrahim, you know, don't bother people with religion. What matters? Be a good person. Are you a good person? Can you be a good person? You know, God is not asking for morality. God is asking for perfection. And the only person who came into this world, God himself becoming a man with a body in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived the life that we should have lived and died on the cross, the death that we should have deserved in order to pay the penalty. That's why we speak about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. On behalf of whom? On behalf of every sinner who repents and trusts in his precious blood. That's the message of the gospel in the Bible. So, morality, good works, many religions, actually all religions are about good works. But God asks for perfection. And we fall short because God is too high. The Lord Jesus Christ is sinless, he is blameless, he is righteous. His character is untainted by sin. Nothing unclean in the person. The one who never said a lie, the one who never thought even about a lie, the one who never said a word which is misplaced. Perfection par excellence. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is described to us in the Word of God. Maybe I said too much on this first point about preparation. You need to prepare because life is short. Life is fragile. And the second, there will be a meeting place. This is inevitable, and no one can escape. No one. We will all face God. Please, don't put it in the future. We will all face God now. Some people think, oh, I can live as a young man. I will enjoy. You preachers, you are killjoy. God is a killjoy. Religion is a killjoy. I want to enjoy myself now. Don't tell me about living the word. Don't tell me about living my whims. I want to do what I think. I govern my own life. But you want it or not, you are a believer or not, you are prepared or unprepared, Bible says you shall meet God. You will meet God. You will face God. There will be that interview and you will not come late. You will not miss that appointment because you will be brought. If you are reluctant, you will be forced to come into that meeting with God. That's why you may scoff at it. You may delay it. You may dodge it. You may deny it. But Bible says, no one will escape. We will all show up. We will come to that meeting. But you see, we will come to that meeting for one thing. Either to be brought in the presence of God into eternity, face to face with God, or we will be banished from the face of God. Again, I do not wish that banishment to anyone. Anyone, if you, even your worst enemy, you do not wish him to be banished from the face of God. You know, to be brought in the face of God on that day to enter eternity, oh, there is great joy, there is great delight, there is great happiness. But to be removed from the presence of the living God, it's a place. Nobody can describe that place to you. Bible says many people will be thrown in the lake of fire. Think about it, my dear friend. I do not wish you that. It is an awful place to be. That's why we preach the gospel. Come to him. Return to the Lord. Seek after him. Cry unto him for the forgiveness of sins. And he said, if you do that with your heart, he will certainly forgive you. Evidence after evidence, we know that there will be life after death. My dear brothers and sisters, death is not the end. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So there will be a day of appointment, a time of appointment, and the place of appointment. That's why you know the saying, I'm sure many people have heard the saying, that heaven is a prepared palace for prepared people. It's a palace there, heaven. But you must be prepared now in order to be with God, in order to enter into the bliss of the living God. I'm sure some people have experienced this. If a job interview scares you, what about facing the living God? Bible says he is a burning fire. That should scare you to death, actually. But you don't have to be scared of that day if you have put your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every beat of your heart brings you closer to that day of reckoning. Are you prepared to meet him? Can I ask you before I move to the third heading? Do you have an advocate? When you stand before God for judgment, even now where you are listening to me, do you have someone who will stand for you and defend you before the living God? Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that Christ is the advocate. And he's the propitiation of our sins if we put our trust in him. Now the third heading. First, a preparation is needed. Second, there is a place, there will be a place where we shall meet with God in this life, but in the hereafter. And third, please look at the God who is asking you to meet with him. That is in verse 13. Many attributes of God are given to us in verse 13. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So, prepare to meet thy God. He is your God. You want it or not, he created you. Actually, everything you have belongs to him. The air you are breathing, the trees you are enjoying. The forest, the rain, everything you are enjoying. Just think, whatever man has created is just vanity. But that's why man could never create what God has created. Because God is the real creator. So, my dear friends, he made you and he created all things. You see, the word God there in verse 12, prepare to meet with thy God, is the word Jehovah. And that means, the word Jehovah means the eternal present one. The one who was, who is, and who will be forever. And the word Jehovah means the God who is self-existing, the God who is self-sufficient, the God who is self-energizing. He doesn't need anything outside himself. You need the air, you need food, you need clothing, and so on. He doesn't need all that because he's perfect and he's eternal. And he created all things. He just said, let it be, and everything came to be. And when you read later Amos chapter 4, you will see on many occasions he said, I will, which means everything in this world, God has created it. He is holy, he is righteous, he is almighty. You know the name given to him, he is the God of hosts, which means all the celestial armies belongs to him. Heaven and earth belong to him. But he is also the holy God, the Holy One. That's why no sin that is unforgiven will be let enter into heaven. We need the forgiveness of our sins, and that forgiveness can be given only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This God can turn the bright morning into darkness and darkness into light. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. He is pure, upright in his character. He makes no mistakes. He is all-knowing, unknowable. He is unsearchable. But you see, this God who is unsearchable, he let himself to be known by men. That's the difference with other religions. They do not know God in a personal way. But in the Bible, you can know God personally. And he is unchangeable. Please, my dear friend, this is not a benign God. It's not a small God. So that's why, what would you do if you have to contend with him? Will you play the fool? No, God forbid. So be prepared, because we shall all stand before him. Now, how to prepare? The fourth one. How to prepare? Because we need that preparation. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to make it up. The Bible is the map of God. From Genesis to Revelation, God spoke to us through the prophets. He spoke to us through the apostles. And he gave us his word, the Bible. The inspired word, the only infallible word, the only inspired word, the word that shows everything to us on how to know God and how to have fellowship with him. So God has given us everything to be prepared for that interview. So we prepare simply by believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. He shed his blood on that cross. The innocent, the righteous, the just, for us, the unjust. The ones to be blamed is us. Really, that's our identity. We are sinners. So we prepare by repentance from our sins and trusting the Savior. God's righteousness can be credited to you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you stand before God on that interview, you will be declared to be not guilty. That's the message of the Bible. For God to save me, I must come to an end of myself and see my own unrighteousness. You see, the text doesn't say tomorrow. Prepare now. It's the present tense. Prepare now, today is the day of salvation, this hour, this moment. So prepare today for tomorrow. And that's why God insists, come back to me, return unto me, and I will give you peace. He doesn't take pleasure in our death. He wants us to have peace with him. He's the friend of sinners. He's the meeting place. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the meeting place for sinners. That's where we meet with forgiveness. That's where we meet with kindness. That's where we meet with compassion. That's where we meet with love. Your parents may not love you. The society may not love you. But the cross of Calvary is the signature of God's love for this human race. Though it was crucial, though it was great pain, though it was a painful place, but this is where we are reconciled with the living God. So, God is not pleased with you if you spurn that cross. Christ paid the price, and he gives us everything, and there is everything to gain. Please ask him tonight. You are unprepared. Lord, help me to be prepared. Lord, save me. Lord, take me out of this ignorance and this arrogance and this pride. Make me small, and help me to find thee, Lord. If you do so, the Lord is willing to be thy God, your God, and my God. Now I close with the last one. What are the consequences if you do not come to the Lord? What are the consequences if you say, oh, I have all time. What is this man talking about? Why is he disturbing my sleep? No, I don't want to listen. Here are the consequences. And this is the hardest part for every good preacher or faithful preacher or godly person, to end a sermon with a negative note. But I must, because it is in the text. But I want to remove that negative part because it is a double-edged matter. I show it to you in the verse. Verse 12, the first part. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet with thy God. Why did I say it is a double-edged matter? May I read it to you in a different way? God is saying, if you do not believe, if you refuse, two options. One, if you refuse, this is what I'm going to do to you. But if you come, that's the second part. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in repentance, trusting his precious blood, this is what I'm going to do for you. Not to you, but for you. I hope you see the balance in the verse. And the verse that God doesn't tell you he's going to send fire, he's going to send hell. No, he's silent. Why God is silent? Because if you do not come to him, then things will escalate. Can I give you some things God has done for the people there? Five dramatic and disasters, public disasters are mentioned in Amos chapter 4. But the people, in spite of all the pain and the tragedy God has sent unto them, they didn't want to believe. He sent the flood to wipe away the sinful universe. He sent unto them plagues like in Egypt. And he sent even captivity unto them, but they didn't want to listen. He warned them on so many occasions. He treated them like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and never to be rebuilt again. Never to be rebuilt again. That is finished. That's what God did to the two cities because they were evil. They were wicked. So God destroyed them. The same warnings, so many warnings given to the people. God gave them even the cleanness of teeth, which means famine. They didn't eat for so long, so nothing was on their teeth. But yet they refused. Rain, he upheld rain against them, but yet they refused to repent. But you know what happened? 40 years later, after this prophecy, the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were very wild. Very wild. It's the picture of the devil, Satan. The Assyrians came, and you know what happened? They took most of the population into captivity. So you may say, oh, this a preacher is telling us these things and nothing will happen to me. God is patient, but the patience of God has its limits. In Romans chapter 2, we are told that the patience of God should lead us into repentance, that we come and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I close with this. What tragedy, what disaster, what calamity you want God to bring in your life before you come to your senses? I ask myself, what disaster? Should I lose my job? Should I become very sick? That my situation is irreversible? Should I be in an accident? Should I be in famine or persecuted somewhere before now? Oh, I see. God, help me. Is it what you want God to do with you? Please seek him tonight. You know, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible say you come to God as a father, or you come to him as a judge. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a friend, or you can come to him as an enemy, your adversary. You can come to him in worship, or you can come to him in judgment. If you do not come to him now in this life, then be prepared tomorrow to meet with him. And I have to give you this warning. Do prepare or be prepared to meet him not for a handshake, but for a verdict. That's the reality of we find in the word of God. But if you come to him in repentance and faith, the interview day, even now, if you come to him tonight, the interview will be a day of delight, a day of forgiveness, a day of spiritual blessing, and you shall be forever with him. That is one of the promises we find in the word of God. So come to the Lord. He is the savior of souls. He is the savior of sinners. Trust in him. Give him your heart, and he will keep you forever. And no matter what happens to you in this life, it is all well with your soul. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 300.